Our God is a God of compassion. And there's probably never a better personification of compassion than when our Lord became a man. He became one of us. His mission, of course, to come to the cross, to the empty tomb, that we might be with him. 6 times while the Lord lived on the earth, the scriptures record the record of the Lord very specifically being moved with compassion or having compassion. So tonight I want to take a few minutes and address those portions of scripture. May God help us to become people of compassion as Jesus was. Both God and man of compassion. The first of these, you'll turn in your Bible with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1, and the portion of scripture that contains the Lord's compassion personified is found beginning in verse 35. The Bible says that in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And isn't it interesting how the Lord got up early to pray, to spend time with his Father before the events of his day. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, "All men seek for thee." He said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils or demons. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Here the Lord describes his compassion as personified for people in desperation. Leprosy, oh, what a dread disease. A disease that puts somebody in a helpless situation, puts somebody in a hopeless situation. Here's a man that had, I'm sure, all hope gone. And he hears about this one who is doing amazing, miraculous things. And he seeks him out. And in faith, he says, "Lord, I know that you can heal me. If that's what you will." And the Lord was willing to heal. He helps a man who's coming in desperation. How desperate are you to know God, to seek the Lord? You look at a man like this and you say, "Oh, how sad. How sad that he had leprosy." But my friend, how much more sadder it would have been for him not to have had leprosy and not become desperate and to have gone without having the hand of the Lord in his life. And there are times when it is a good thing for us, it's a good thing for those in the world around us, to become desperate. So that we can experience the compassion of the Lord. And we seek him out of our desperation. Well, that's the first time that the Lord, the Bible describes him having compassion. The next time we find in our Bibles in the book of Luke. And so I have you turn with me to Luke's Gospel. And you want to go to chapter 7 of Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 7. And when you arrive at that chapter, you want to begin where this story tells or begins with verse 11 of Luke chapter 7. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. He had quite a crowd with him. And now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. So here's the widow lady. Her son, now a grown man, is all she has left, and he dies. Everybody's walking with her as they come to the gate. And when the Lord saw her, verse 13, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier. Think of that as an open casket. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a great fear on all they that glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. Here is compassion for people in grief. And how regularly we, even in our congregation and in your life, you know people in grief. And for Jesus, it motivated him to bring a consolation that you don't have the power to give. If you did, you probably would be called upon regularly to attend funerals. Wouldn't that be something? But in a way that Jesus chose to do at that time. It's the only time in the scripture you find him at someone's funeral where he raises them from the dead, but in compassion, he reaches out and does what he can to console those in grief. And you know, you and I, really, we can't reach out and we cannot bring healing. But you know, what a blessing it is when we can be the people that God uses to reach out and console those who are grieving. So many of you are so wonderful at such ministry, and in so many ways, so many of you are involved in blessing people in their time of grief. And I say to you that you are, in a sense, the hand and the voice and the heart of the Lord when you serve and minister to those who are grieving. Well, there's another time when Jesus, the Bible records his compassion. This time you'll go in your Bible to Matthew chapter 9. This is the third of the six. This may be one that is more familiar to you. It's on our, the context of this is what brings us to what's on our prayer bulletin every week about the Lord's Prayer request. But Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is in Galilee, and you'll notice he's on a preaching tour. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. And then Matthew tells us exactly what was in Jesus' heart and his mind as he's moved with compassion on the people that are following him everywhere he goes, and he sees them everywhere he goes. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The Lord had compassion on people who needed guidance. And they were like wandering sheep, and they needed someone to give them direction and protection and to guide them. And sometimes, as we together share this life and we serve one another, as we serve the Lord, and you deal with people who desperately need guidance. Now be careful. Be careful, because in our service to people, sometimes we get the idea that that we are the end all of guidance. Did you ever get that idea? We are the know-all. But really, as we reach out and we serve people who are seeking God's mind and God's direction, we need to point them ultimately to the Lord. For He will indeed guide their steps far beyond what we can. And do you know what this moved the Lord to do strangely? What it moved the Lord to do was to tell the disciples something about dealing with people when they need direction, they need guidance, when they're like lost sheep who have no shepherd. And what Jesus said it ought to move us to do is what the Bible tells, beginning in verse 37. Then He saith to His disciples, "The harvest truly is plenty, yes, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." How we need to pray that the Lord sends laborers into whatever harvest field where sheep are needing guidance and direction. And we pray that through this, the Lord would give them guidance. Pray! The supernatural work of God to be done. And then there's a fourth occasion. We read about this in two Gospels, actually, but we will consider just one portion or one account. It's in Matthew's Gospel, and you'll want to turn over just a few pages in your Bible from Matthew chapter 9 to Matthew chapter 15. Again, Jesus is on a ministry trip. And the Bible says this of Him. I'll begin reading in verse 29. "And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, a hill there, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, that is, they could not speak, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called His disciples unto Him, and He said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continued with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." Mark chapter 8 records the same story. Let me give you the record from Mark, where the Lord says, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with Me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers or different ones of them came from afar." So Jesus is compassionate because they were hungry. Now they're in a real quandary. What are we going to do with these people? How are we going to feed all these people? And so the disciples said to Him, verse 33, "Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude?" And He saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, "Seven, and a few little fishes." He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and He took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat. and were filled, and they took up the broken meat or food that was left, 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. Now there's another time when the Lord fed the multitude too. This was 5,000 men with women and children. This is the feeding of the 4,000. This is on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But for Jesus, understand that physical hunger was not what drove him here. Is there anything wrong with feeding the hungry? No. It's wonderful. But when this is recorded, the reason that Jesus had such compassion on these individuals was that they had been following him for 3 days. They took a trip, and they're, you know, like when you take a trip, of course, you don't have McDonald's on every corner and every exit at the interstate. So they carried what they had with them, but they wanted to hear from Jesus. And they wanted to hear from, they were so hungry to hear from the words of God that they went with him and they ran out of food, and Jesus realizes they have nothing to eat. And because they were hungry for him, he had compassion. You know, the Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they, this is Matthew 5:6, that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you know, this literally was fulfilled in this particular group of people who were hungry for God. You know, Jesus has compassion on people that are hungry for God, not people that are wanting God to be like a genie, that they can pull him out and use him to get what they want. But, oh, the heart and the compassion of God for people that are truly hungry for him. And you see, there are things that only Jesus can do, and it is a joy to leave to the Lord to take care of those who are hungry for him. You know, we have people in this congregation just like that. Hungry. And no wonder your life is filled with the joy of the Lord and the power of the Lord, and your life is filled with the things of the Lord, because his compassion is filling you as you seek him. Well, let's go to the next one. This time, though, we're going to go back in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, there's also the record of this in Mark chapter 6, but I'll read Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 13. Of this portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 13. Did I say that? That's not what I should have said. Matthew 14, verse 13. Dyslexia. Matthew 14, 13. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. When you read the account in Mark chapter 6, the Bible records the same account. Jesus and the men were so busy, overwhelmingly so, ministering to needs of people that Mark's gospel records this. I'll read to you Mark chapter 6, verse 31. He said to them, that is, the Lord said to the disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And so when they departed into this desert place, they had so many things happening, and the people were coming to them, and there were so many needs and so much going on, and they needed to have a little bit of rest, a little bit of time away. But the people would not leave them alone. In verse 14, and when Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, he healed their sick. It's interesting. In Matthew's gospel, the response recorded by the Lord is that when he was moved with compassion on them, he reached out and he touched them. Mark's gospel records the same thing. You know what Mark's gospel says? I'll read it to you. He had compassion on them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. In Mark's gospel, he taught them. Matthew's gospel, he touched them. But either way, the Lord's compassion was moved when it was very inconvenient. Tired? Had a little vacation planned. They just wanted to get alone and get away from all the people and all the needs and all the burdens and all the activities. They were tired. And yet the people came and the Lord showed great compassion when it was inconvenient to his schedule. I wonder how you react when your schedule is inconvenienced. How many of you like to have a schedule? Boy, I like a schedule. I like to plan everything. Because if I don't plan it, man, the time just goes and goes and goes and I waste it. But I wonder, when the time that you planned for this, and this is what we needed to do, this is what we wanted to do, I wonder, how do you react when people and things out of your control interrupt your plans and your schedule? Compassion is a lot easier when it's convenient than when it's inconvenient. So the Lord taught us about compassion, even when it's inconvenient. Then there's one other place, one other event in the Lord's life where his compassion is described. And you'll go with me now to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. Matthew, chapter 20. And we'll begin reading in verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. Can't you imagine that? Would you all be quiet? Jesus is passing by. Would you just be quiet? Shh, quiet. They cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Here is the Lord showing compassion on people who are rejected by others. To everybody else, these men didn't deserve an audience with Jesus. To everybody else, they were an inconvenience. To everybody else, they needed to be quiet. Don't bother the Master. Jesus' compassion was not on the crowds. Jesus' compassion was on the men that were rejected by the crowds. Compassion for those who are rejected. So I wonder, and oh, how easy it is to lose compassion When I entered ministry, I had some of the things I was going to share with you, but I think I'm going to tell you this and I'll be done. When I entered ministry a long time ago now down in Florida, there were numbers of things that surprised me. See, when you're in school, you're learning all kinds of things that are necessary and wonderful. I needed to learn a lot more. But there were a number of things for which I was absolutely unprepared. Do you know what the thing that I think I was probably most unprepared for on a day-to-day basis? The thing for which I was most unprepared was people coming to the door of the church asking for handouts. I never realized that that happened in church. I didn't even know people would. That was new to me. I grew up in church, large church there, and, you know, it was, I had no idea how that would ever work. I know it did. But it just surprised me. And when I first started out, I was like, oh, every person that comes to the door, every phone call that comes, this is the person that God is sending for me to lead to Christ. Right? And, you know, Pastor Malloy had no problem letting me handle all those for him. And, you know, I have no problem letting the guys handle all those things for me. It doesn't bother me at all. And so after a while, I realized what was going on. And out there, it is remarkable, and we've seen this happen here. I saw it happen down in Florida. It is remarkable how the word gets passed around somehow to places that there will be somebody that will help them. And so what happens is you keep getting calls and you keep getting calls and you keep having people stop by, and it keeps happening and happening and happening. And I really, after a while, you realize that you can't help everybody, and really not everybody wants help. And certainly many of the people that you're dealing with don't want the kind of help that you can give. Right? But what happens for me in my own heart, though, is after a while, and now I've been at this for a long time, you get so many calls and so many stories. And when you're in one place for a long time, as I've been in only two places in all these years, you begin over time to see the same people again and again and again. But what happens is after a while, you really lose compassion and you get impatient for people that really don't want the kind of help you can give, especially if it's again and again and again. Now, how many of you understand what I'm talking about? Now, but sometimes it is good, and on a night like tonight, it's probably a good night for people like me that get cynical and hard-hearted and get tired sometimes of the inconvenience of it and all the things that go into every particular situation, to remember that even though there are times when it is inconvenient, and even though there are times when you wonder if you're really helping, it's good for me to remember that if there's ever a place where people who are rejected by others ought to find compassion in this city, it ought to be this place. Now I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. May God help us to be the kind of people, and when we're the kind of people, we'll become the kind of a church that truly those that come in contact with us and those that share our lives with us, that truly at this place, that truly God's compassion in us is personified as it was in Jesus. May the Lord help us. Amen, church. Stand with me, please. Our Father, we ask that you would help us because our own flesh pulls against a heart of compassion. And we ask that you would do in us the supernatural work of giving us your compassion. May we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He changes us. That through us, in our city, that this would be a place where compassion would be personified. This is way over our heads, Lord. This is something that we can't do. But we ask that you would do this through us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.